Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Out there in podcast land, you are listening to Unseen Footage, episode number 2. This is the podcast where I, David Armstrong, take a movie that I saw when I was a younger self and show it to my friend Claire Yale, who has never seen that movie. She has to see it now as an adult, and we discuss it through those two different perspectives, I guess. So with me, as always, is Claire Yale. How are you, Claire?
I'm good. I'm great.
Awesome. So we saw, for episode 2, we saw 1989's Batman, directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton as the titular Batman. And when I was a kid, I saw this a little after it came out. 1989, I was 2. We were 2. So I saw it a little later. There was already a video game. And it was based on Batman Returns, which is actually the sequel to this movie. And so I played that video game, loved it. I was like, well, I'm Batman, which was my first real exposure to him as a character in general. And then my parents decided, oh, he's old enough to see this movie. So I saw this one with Jack Nicholson as the Joker, and and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Also a little scary. I don't remember being scared too much as a kid. I know a lot of people bring up traumatic kid movies.
Right.
I was never really that scared about anything. Batman was a little bit unsettling, and that's mostly to Jack Nicholson, because he's a scary character.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So that's that. So we can talk about... What do you want to talk about first? Like, do you want to go to maybe the director? So Tim Burton, this was his, I think, like, third movie.
Yeah.
He had done Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and then he did Beetlejuice, and... Because Beetlejuice was a success, they let him do Batman. And so he restarted the franchise, basically. You were telling me that you were familiar with the Adam West version, which is famous for the
pow, bang, boom!
Yes, the things appearing on the screen. So that was a TV series, that was also a movie. And so it got campy, it got kind of ridiculous.
Right.
And Burton wanted to reset it and start over with a new franchise, with a more serious Batman, and an intimidating sort of a vigilante figure. Did you like it? Did you like him as a directorially, thematically, do you think he pulled it off?
I thought he was great. It's funny hearing you say, like, that he wanted to make it serious, or, like, wanted to, you know, bring it back to a darker kind of perspective, because I don't ever see Burton as a dark mind, kind of. But sure. I guess he is.
Kind of twisted.
He kind of brings a twist.
Yeah. It's dark comic.
Right.
It's like tragic comic, I guess you could say. Like a lot of his movies. This is a few years before.
Right.
This is a few years before his other movies, like Edward Scissorhands, which is a very dark...
I haven't seen Edward Scissorhands.
Of course.
I know what it's about, though.
Right.
A Man with Scissor Hands.
Okay. That's the title of the movie, so anybody could figure that out. But that's kind of the same thing. It's like it's a very tragic figure, and there's kind of these comic moments that are dark but lighthearted. They're very strange.
Yeah.
Burton has a very difficult tone that he walks.
Yeah, and I think it's perfect for a comic book adaptation into film.
Yeah,
I think he does such a great job with purposefully making the set look like a set that could have come from a comic book.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all the backdrops are drawn. Like, you can tell.
2D, two-dimensional.
Yeah, it's two-dimensional. We were saying earlier that it kind of looks like a frame.
Yeah.
From a comic book.
Right. And I think that helps, too. And it also, that idea, that transition... is also helpful in the bigger picture, too, in the idea that this was the first real comic book movie. So we have a lot of them now. We have, like, the Avengers and Iron Man, X-Men, all these things, another reboot of Superman now, and the Nolan trilogy, the Christopher Nolan trilogy of Batman.
Right.
I have all these things. It kind of all started with Burton doing this Batman.
Yeah.
The original. This is the original. The OG.
Right. It's just called Batman.
It's straight up Batman. I don't know, did you rent it on online? How did you see it?
Oh, I watched it illegally online.
It's fine, whatever.
Okay.
It's like the full one's on YouTube, so, okay. You know, until it comes down,
right.
We're not in any trouble.
Oh, God.
But it's just a black case, yeah. Movie case, the giant logo in gold.
Yeah.
No faces, nothing.
Makes it really Batman. Confusing when I was like telling people what our next podcast was going to be, and I was okay. Like, the Batman movie. And people are like, what? What Batman movie?
And that's when you have to say, with Michael Keaton.
Right.
Right. And so the reason that I wanted to do this particular movie is because we were, Claire and I were discussing what movie we want to do next. The Nolan trilogy came up somehow, and I said, oh, we should do the 1989 Batman. And she was like, the boom pow one. I'm like, no. The one with Michael Keaton as Batman. She goes...
Who is Michael Keaton?
So I said, all right, we have to do this movie.
But this movie didn't clear up that question for me, just to be clear. Like, I still would have asked that after this. Like, who is Michael Keaton?
So you're still like, I don't know who that was.
Right. Usually, I mean, I don't know the names of a lot of actors because sure. I haven't seen a lot of movies. But usually when I see them, I'm like, oh, it's that guy who right. also did this. And then, yeah. you know, was it on House or something.
Yeah.
But Michael Keaton, still, I'm like, no idea.
Right, right.
There's no reference.
There's no reference point. And the reference point for everybody at that time was Michael Keaton was a comedian. He was a comic actor. He'd done Mr. Mom, which was his big movie at that time. And a little later after this, he does Multiplicity. He does things like that. So in addition to Burton being a new director, basically... Mm-hmm. Keaton is this not a dramatic actor, not somebody that you'd expect to be Batman, and nobody wanted him to be Batman. So there's a lot of backlash of people, you know, they announce that this person's playing this part, and everybody's like, no, that's a terrible idea. Imagine all those scenarios and multiply them by 10, because yeah. that was the backlash of Michael Keaton.
Wow.
And... so they hated it, mm. and they didn't want this to be, they didn't want it to be done. It was almost stopped because there was so much backlash. They considered recasting the role, and I, for one, I'm so glad they didn't.
Yeah.
And so what did you think of Michael Keaton as Batman?
I loved Michael Keaton as Batman.
There you
I
go.
I really, really liked it. And I think, like, The reason that I liked it the most is because he's such a surprising Batman.
Yes.
Like, he's not this guy that you think will be, like, a vigilante who's saving the city.
Right.
He's an awkward dude.
Awkward.
He's socially awkward. He's yeah. not the guy you want to, like, be standing next to in an elevator.
Right.
Because you feel like you have to talk to them, but they're, like, not making eye contact or, like, being weird.
Or too much eye contact right. or something. Yeah, yeah. They're just
unsettling.
Awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unsettling.
Yeah.
He gets uncomfortable, and you can tell he's uncomfortable in his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and it's, I think we said it earlier when we were talking about this, but he is kind of the person that you would expect is insane enough to eventually put on a bat suit and be a vigilante and go around the city and fight crime in a bat suit.
Yeah.
He's a man dressed as a bat. But, yeah. You wouldn't expect him to be Batman also.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So I thought I think that's interesting, and I think that strengthens the contrast of Bruce Wayne to Batman.
Yeah, I agree. And like with other stories of Batman,
yeah.
you know, you see his transition into Batman, and you kind of know his motivation for doing so. With this story, you don't get that.
Right.
He's just Batman, and he's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And so it just, like, supports this idea that he's just, like, this dude who just wants to dress up like a bat.
Right.
He's got millions of dollars, a lot of free time.
No, nothing to do. Lives by himself in this huge yeah. house.
I like the idea that his first thing he wanted to do was just dress up as a bat. And then, like, attacking, like, saving the city kind
right.
of was, like, an afterthought.
Yes. Oh, that's interesting. I like that. He's like, I don't know if I was wanted to dress up as a bat. Like, that was his first thought.
And that's why those bad guys at the beginning are like, have you heard of this bat?
Yeah.
And Bruce Wayne's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess people have seen me. I might as well start beating them up.
And that's the curious part. That's the cool part about this movie also. They don't deal so much with origin stories. I think what's tiring to me about the reboots nowadays and introducing a wider audience to more and more superheroes is we have to get this origin tale. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the necessity all the time. Why do you want to see the less interesting part of the character, basically? Right. You know?
Yeah.
We want to see him, you know, fight crime, kick ass, all these things. And so we get the introduction to Batman is Batman.
Right.
We see him as Batman first. And then it's not till a few scenes later we meet Bruce Wayne. And he doesn't even answer to his own name. Right. He's uncomfortable, like we said, and he's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of offhandedly... I like the armor. They're in the armor room. And they're like, oh, what kind of armor is that? Right. And he's like, it's Japanese. And they're like, how do you know? And he's like, I bought it from Japan. Like, he's so awkward. But it's so great. It's right. Such a great portrayal.
Yeah.
And it helps. It helps inform us of that without the need of an origin story.
Yeah. And it helps, like, it really helps him. It does him a service when he has to just, like, rush off to be Batman. Because yes. It's just another awkward thing that this weird person would do.
Right.
Like, in that same scene when they're in that hall, Alfred comes up and is like, you really should go.
Right.
And if I was that if I was the person watching that happen, I'd be like, that guy's Batman.
Sure.
Like, of course right. He has to leave when there's some kind of crime.
Right.
But he's just a weird dude.
He's just a weird dude. He leaves and says, give him a grant. Yeah. Right? He like gives them a bunch of money.
Yeah.
He also walks into, I believe somewhere, like the direction that he walks into, does not have a door.
No door.
He disappeared off into, behind the mirror. He had to disappeared behind that mirror.
Which neither of them like pick up on but or care like, about.
Yeah.
We got a grant.
Yeah. And that's about right. That's about right for... who he is.
That weird guy.
It makes sense. So yeah, so that's Michael Keaton as yeah. Batman. An unexpected take on the character.
Yeah. And speaking of origin story,
sure.
I wanted to talk to you about this because I felt like at the very beginning of the movie, you think it's going to be him.
Yes. Yes. And I knew you were going to, I was wondering if you were going to talk about that. So people who haven't seen it, they start off the movie with a kid and his parents coming out of a movie theater, and they're like lost. They're like tourists,
right?
And so
trying to get a taxi.
Yeah, trying to get a taxi. And I was so confused because I had forgotten that was the opening scene. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, this is kind of the Bruce Wayne origin, and his parents are going to die and all this stuff. But everything was confusing me. I was like, why are they tourists? They're in Gotham.
Yeah.
Why are they getting a taxi? They're rich. Like all these things. And then I realized it's not them. And that threw me for a loop for a little bit. Yeah. That was the only thing that I was like, I actually was a little bothered by that. Because I was
really?
Like, oh, it just confused. It just served to confuse me.
It's not really, it's not necessary. It's pretty much just there to confuse you, I think. Like, that's the only thing they're trying to do is be like, oh, you think this is going to be him. And then it's not.
It's an homage to it, but it's a terribly drawn. It's a terribly executed homage to it. Because it's just confusing.
Right. The only thing that I... The thing that, like, was a little bit of a flag to me, but not a big enough flag,
right.
was that they call him Timmy.
Oh, right.
The little boy.
Right.
And in my head, I was like, is Batman's name Timmy? Like, I couldn't remember for a minute.
I'm Timmy. Who knows?
Timmy Wayne!
Yep. I mean, it could have... It almost was. No, I don't know. That would have been terrible, but I didn't even notice. I didn't even realize he calls him Timmy.
Yeah.
I was just so mad and so confused by this opening scene. I didn't know what was happening.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me, man. Don't kill me. Don't kill me, man.
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Did you... Yes or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. I think the only other full-length film that I've seen Nicholson in mm-hmm. is The Shining.
Okay.
So this goes right in line with The Shining.
Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, of course that guy could play the Joker.
Yeah, that guy's insane. And I think my other, like, biggest... I have two other, like, cultural perspectives on him. One is that he's always at Laker games.
Sure.
And he's got those crazy eyebrows that go above his glasses. And the fourth thing that I know him from is that this last Oscars, or two Oscars ago, when Jennifer Lawrence won.
Oh,
and he does that, like, creepy thing where he comes up behind her during an interview. And there's like a meme of it and all this. Yeah. A GIF.
Yeah. A GIF. Oh, I'm sad that they told us it's a GIF.
I always thought it was a GIF, by the way.
Why?
Because I can't read.
That just sounds horrible. A GIF. Ugh. But yeah.
So he's just a creepy dude.
He's a creepy dude. And he has a very jokery smile when you like see him normally. Mm-hmm. And they just exaggerated that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson. It's funny that you brought up the Laker game thing. So to do this movie, just a fun fact, hashtag FF, they had to shoot around his schedule because he wanted to see all the Laker games. So he was like, I will do the movie, but you need to let me out Thursday nights for the basketball. I don't know when Laker games happen.
David's never watched a sporting game.
I don't know. That's the basketball one, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yep.
It's in Los Angeles.
Okay, yeah. LA Lakers. I knew that. Yeah. Because LA, Hollywood, he's nearby.
Uh-huh.
Context clues. But so he had to be let out to see the game still.
That's
then
so
then he'd
funny.
Come back to shoot.
Yeah.
So yeah. But he's great,
he's
right?
He's fantastic. Yes, he seems like this creepy dude all the time, which I'm sure he's not in real life. I don't know. But there's, like, all these subtleties with the way he plays it and the consistency throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, totally unwavering. He's just demented. He's a demented dude.
He's committed to the character the whole time, and I think it speaks to how well he plays it that I was scared of it. And that he was committed to it without ever being like scene chewing, and like it wasn't campy, it wasn't too much,
right?
Like a lot of villains were in that era.
Yeah,
I think we were saying like in the last episode we were talking about Hook. You were talking about Dustin Hoffman. Like Dustin Hoffman is chewing the scenery and he's overacting and he's doing all these things, and it works for the tone.
Yeah,
but it's like if the Joker, if it had been too much with Jack Nicholson, then the whole mythos and the whole thing, like the foundation, is destroyed.
Yeah,
because you can't take the Joker seriously. Line. Yeah,
yeah. So the only Batman, aside from the pow bang ones,
right? Adam West.
The Adam West. I will never remember that.
That's fine.
which I don't remember much of anymore. The only other Batman that I really have exposure to is the Christopher Nolan one.
Sure.
And the main bad guy in those ones is also the Joker.
Yes.
So my main reference point of bad guy is Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the main villain?
He has become the main villain. It was such a pervasive, like a strong character in the comics that he became Batman's main adversary. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to me that this movie makes this, basically, it's not just a Batman story. It's a Joker story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of A and B. They interweave a lot.
Yeah.
And making the Joker the killer of Bruce Wayne's parents, like, that whole idea of who did what first. Like, who drove what to what end. Do you know? Because Batman is responsible for Joker looking like he does and all that. But Joker's responsible for Batman becoming Batman.
Yeah.
And making that even more interrelated, because that's not necessarily in the comics. It depends on which comic book you read.
Mm-hmm.
But that, originally, that wasn't part of it. Joker appears very much like in the Nolan trilogy. He kind of just appears out of nowhere.
Right.
Has always been the Joker. You don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of this antithesis of Batman. And you imagine that they, you know, philosophically, like, if Batman were to lose his moral compass, he would be the Joker.
Right.
And if the Joker were to, you know, they're both insane.
Yeah.
They're both these insane characters. It's just that Batman so happens to be on our side.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the only thing separating them.
Yeah, and Batman has this, like we discussed with Keaton specifically, too, he's very humanized, and we recognize ourselves in him, especially in this version of Batman.
Exactly.
He's the guy you see at the grocery store. We empathize so much with him.
Right.
But then he has this other side that empathizes so much with the Joker.
Right.
And so I feel like as a viewer, and that the fact that, like, Joker is my main villain that I know, mm-hmm. it makes so much sense to me because he's like, where we empathize so much with Batman, we don't empathize at all. Like, he's such an anomaly,
right.
this Joker character who right. has no motivation to speak of. I mean, in this one he does more, I guess.
Yeah, they try to humanize him a little bit more,
yeah.
which is interesting. Burton, for me, more generally as a director, tries to give these characters motivation, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. I think in general for the Joker it works, but like my example of the opposite would be like when he redid Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh yeah.
And he had this backstory for Willy Wonka. I'm like, Willy Wonka never needed a backstory.
Right.
He needed to be this anomaly who was like kind of mysterious,
yeah.
and you know, so it didn't work in that case, and I think that was a case of he's doing a similar thing, but it works,
mm-hmm.
I think, for the story specifically.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the Joker and Batman, in addition to being, like, good and evil, it's chaos versus order.
Right.
So it's Batman who needs to keep order.
Yeah.
He needs to keep people from dying. And the good must triumph over evil. And the Joker is not even necessarily evil over good. He's
right.
just like, whatever happens, happens. Yeah.
I'm making, like, firecracker
yeah.
dances
yep.
right now.
There were firecrackers going off. It was a crazy special effects show that you missed.
His, like, one of his campaigns is to make... He kills all these people with beauty products.
Right.
And he, you know, scars his girlfriend.
Yes.
And he makes her wear this mask. And when she takes it off, it's, like, not that bad.
Right. Right. It wasn't that bad.
I just remember being like, oh, that's it?
Basically, the mask is more frightening than her real face.
Way more terrifying.
Way more terrifying.
It's like, thank you for taking that off.
Yes. Yes. Well, let me look at your scary, ugly face
yeah.
because I don't want to look at that mask anymore.
I can handle this 1-inch, like, acid burn on
right.
my cheek.
Right.
It's
a tiny, tiny, yeah.
Nothing.
It looks like a temporary tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of gets into the female portrayals.
Oh, okay. So you want to talk about this. So... I'll talk about we'll start with the main female presence in this movie. It's Vicki Vale, played by Kim Basinger. Basinger? Basinger? I honestly don't know how it's pronounced. I've never known. But Kim Basinger plays Vicki Vale, who is a reporter, a photographer more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
In the comics, she's just a reporter. And the love interest of Bruce Wayne.
Right.
So, yeah. So you didn't like her.
I can't even begin to explain.
Oh, no.
But the problem is that Kim Basinger...
Sure.
Kim
We can just say Vicki
Vale.
Yeah. Kim B.
Kim B. was great. Like, she's fine. You
sure.
know? But this is just like, ah! It's such a classic example of a man writing for a woman.
Yeah.
Especially in this time period.
Right.
But, like, a man trying to write a woman role. And it's so pathetic.
It is. Yeah.
It's, like, from the beginning of her, like, her first, her, which I even have the least amount of problems with, is her, with her legs up on the desk. And that's, like, all you
oh,
see.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's her introduction.
Yeah.
Which is, like, whatever. I mean.
That's fine. I
annoying,
believe, I don't know this,
fine.
I don't know this for sure, but I believe Basinger was pretty big, like, a like, beauty.
Right. Oh, yeah.
At this time.
I mean, she's beautiful.
She is. So I think, like, that's, like, the slow reveal. It's like,
right.
oh, whose legs are those? Oh, it's Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
Yay, Kim
yeah.
Basinger. You know, or
right.
whatever. But, yes, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Her initial, like, or her conflict through most of the movie is basically, when you boil it down, is Bruce hasn't called me.
Oh, my God. It's so awful.
It is. It really is.
And it's so, like, they have no reason to make her that crazy.
Right.
Like, at the beginning, she's this intellectual, smart lady.
An award-winning
taken,
photographer.
Yeah,
yeah.
From, like, war period.
Yeah.
Like, war...
She's in, like, war-torn countries.
Yes.
She's in third world countries.
Yes, exactly.
All these things, and then all of a sudden, like, one guy who we've discussed is... It's Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Not attractive, not charming,
yeah.
you know? And she's lost her shit
yeah.
over him.
Over one date with him.
Right.
It's like... And... She is strong in that, in the first, like, journalism.
Yeah.
In the, what are those things called? When you're in an office and you're a journalist.
Her first job, her reporter job? She's her a reporter.
Job. But you know when she's in there and she's like with all these men and she's holding her own and guy's like, oh, you want to go to dinner? And she's like, no, I don't like you.
Right.
Like, it's all cool. And then all of a sudden, she has one date with Bruce.
Right.
In the morning, he says, I'll be out of town for a couple days, to which she's upset by.
Right.
A couple days means two.
Right. Yes. Like, at the least. At the least.
And at the most, four.
Sure.
You know? It's just like...
Otherwise, he would have said several.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. But it throws her for a loop in the very next part, and Alfred's like, oh no, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
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 And then it drives her insane.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking at one point in this movie, like, I would not be friends with this girl because she would drive me nuts.
Well, as you can tell from the movie, she's practically the only woman in Gotham.
Yeah.
And so she has no female friends.
No, she doesn't. But it's not because they don't want to be her friend. It's because the girl is crazy.
Right. Yeah, she's
crazy. I hate saying crazy because it kind of devalues people. You know, the word crazy is not the most sympathetic one to use, especially when you're talking about your emotional state of being.
Right.
But you should not follow a guy that you've only had one date on when he didn't call you for a day.
Exactly.
She follows him in a car.
Right. Follows him in a car, looks through his like medical files, like personal files and everything like that.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
What's funny to me, which is I don't know if it's like it's different from the rest of the comics and other representations of Batman, but the fact that they don't know who Bruce Wayne is,
mm-hmm.
is very strange to me. That's kind of a foreign idea, but even that, like, he's a millionaire,
right,
in Gotham. Like, it's he's never left. He's always been in Gotham. So it's like the fact that everybody has to be like, who is this guy? I'm like, guys, like, it's Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Like, you know who he is.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't find anything on him? This is crazy.
And he's the owner of Wayne Enterprises always, right? Or is that Justin Nolan's?
Well, he always has been. That's why I'm saying, like, in this movie specifically, there is no Wayne Enterprises. They kind of changed the origin story a little bit.
Right.
In the fact that his parents don't own Wayne Enterprises. It's just old money that they leave behind.
Yeah.
So he has this inheritance. He has an inheritance and he doesn't know what to do with it. Which is all fine and good, but still, he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
You would know. I feel like you would know the millionaires in your town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Some other character in the town would have said at some point, like Vicky Vale, who is new, admittedly, she would be like, who is this Bruce Wayne guy? And everybody's like, oh, Bruce Wayne. Yeah, he's so-and-so.
Right.
They would know who he is.
Point at him and say, it's that guy.
It's that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. We're at his house.
Right. Right. It really bothered me through most of that. But, but I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's kind of useless through the whole thing.
Yeah. And she, it's so double-sided, or it really illuminates both sides to the problem of having, like I said, these male writers write for a woman and like having it all kind of only service the males. Like, she's just there to have for Joker and Batman to fight over.
Right.
Pretty much. And the other journalist. You know, like, everyone wants to vie for her attention.
Exactly.
She is, like we said, one of two girls in Gotham, so I guess I understand why people fight over her.
I guess.
But and she's a visitor.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, all right. But she also is like, the other side to it is just the sexism just ingrained in her character. That's not even about how like obsessed with men she is.
Right.
But like things like, I could not believe that this was even a line in this movie that he's about to shoot that thing up to the top. After he saves her from the museum, they've already flown across the museum together.
Right.
He's picked her up. They've flown together.
Right.
The writer of this movie decides to make a point and say,
I know what you're going to say.
How much do you weigh? To her. And this is her exact line. About 108, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I literally said out loud, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm a normal girl and I weigh like 125. You know, like I'm a normal person.
Right, right, right.
And it's just so like, just how I can't even, like the amount of.
You're like, she's not a big girl by any means.
No, she's a supermodel.
But she says 108 and yeah, I had the same thing. I was like, no.
Right.
No way.
And even if she is, A, who cares? He's already lifted you.
Right.
And B, the fact that she has to sandwich this number with about
and I think right.
She is saying a low number and apologizing for it all at the same time.
I'm so sorry that I'm probably 108 pounds and I'm probably more.
Right. And I'm probably more, but I don't really want you to know that because women are supposed to be 100 pounds.
Right. It's made worse by the fact, like you just said, he's already lifted her.
Right.
He's already used the bat rope or whatever it is to use it. So he's like, why is he asking now?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
He saves people all the time.
That's true.
He doesn't ever have to know how much she weighs.
No.
And then at the end, he's like, I think you're more than 108. He's like, you know what, Batman? I think you're close to 200. So. Ooh. Oh. I don't know. That's, I have no idea about men and weight.
You're getting like really... You're really taking Batman to task now.
Sorry, MK.
The other major character I would say in this movie is Michael Goff as Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
The faithful and loyal butler.
Yeah.
Did you like Michael Goff? It was okay? Just okay?
It was all right. I just couldn't... I love Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, yeah.
So much.
In the Nolan trilogy.
That it's like really hard for me to get behind this other guy.
Yeah.
It was pretty much it.
Okay. Okay.
But he's all right.
He's all right. He's serviceable.
Yeah. He has really bad advice in terms of love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, suggesting that Batman should tell this crazy lady that he's Batman,
right.
I think is the worst advice of the film.
Okay.
Because she's obviously crazy.
Yes.
And so he's like, give her your biggest secret.
Right. So did you absolutely hate the scene then where Michael Keaton's sitting being... very introspective as Bruce Wayne in the Batcave, and Alfred just hear off camera, sir, and Michael Goff is standing there with Kim Basinger in the Batcave,
right,
and he's like, oh shit, like you've just blown all the cover,
right,
out of nowhere. It's a completely out of nowhere move,
yeah,
and so now Vicki Vale knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy move.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah,
it's presumptuous of Alfred.
But yes.
It's, I would say that it disrupts some trust.
Yes.
Disrupts trust is a phrase.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Oh, well. It a phrase.
I mean, he didn't say yes. He didn't say, like, yeah, let's tell her.
Right.
And he just brings her into the Batcave. And then in the Batcave, she tells him that she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no.
Ugh. Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You've been a crazy woman.
No, you don't.
Following him around like a stalker.
Like a
stalker. For the past 4 days. Yeah.
That's called obsession, not love.
Yeah. So it's tough. It's a tough thing to work around in the plot-wise that so much hinges on her.
Right.
And she's kind of this weakly written. She's more of a plot device really than a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that they will usually make a woman that plot device, a female character plot. Cuz it brings to a head for Bruce Wayne, who his identity is, who does he trust, kind of the internal struggle of being a hero,
mm-hmm.
and it's all brought to a head because of how he feels about Vicki Vale.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like you're saying, she's not a character that the audience was like, it all up for this girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope. everybody would be quite the opposite, actually.
Yes.
How much do you weigh?
About 108, I think.
I guess I want to talk about, like, my main thing with Batman and, like, what my major problem was with this film.
Hit it.
Because I love Batman.
Sure.
Like I said, I don't have a lot of experience with a lot of superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just never really caught my attention that much.
Yeah.
Even, like, the new movies... This shouldn't be a shock to you, but I haven't seen, like, any of them.
That's fine.
Iron Man, Avengers,
all
those things. I have no desire to, really. But Batman I've always really supported.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I have very vivid memories of growing up and being, like, I'm a Batman fan. And I like Batman because, I've said this always, because he is a normal dude who has the means and decides to save the world.
Yeah.
Who, like, he doesn't have any superpowers.
Sure.
He's just a guy off the street who decides to use all of his energy, puts his life on the line just to save people and, like, just to be this hero. But he's not... But not a hero. He just wants to save people. He just wants to save Gotham.
He doesn't want the recognition.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want, you know, that's why he's not Bruce Wayne saving people.
Exactly.
And I've always really, really loved that story and really loved what that symbolizes.
Right.
And I felt like with this film, they don't really do that with the character of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
They do in the sense of, like, he's a normal guy, which we talked about, of course, and, like, I really liked. But because everything you were just talking about with Vicki Vale, that, like, she's such a plot device that she's the only person we really see him save. Like,
yes.
He beats up those guys because they stole those people's money.
Right.
But he doesn't save them. He comes after the fact.
That's true.
And
didn't think about that. Never really thought about that before.
He's just like, don't steal stuff.
Just stop stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that I didn't like that the Joker killed his parents.
Okay, yeah.
Because it makes it so personal that instead of wanting to stop the Joker because he's terrorizing this city that he's trying so hard to save,
mm-hmm.
it's more like, I want to stop the Joker because he killed my parents.
Right.
And it all becomes personal and about him instead of about just making his world that he knows a better place.
Yeah. And for me in general, not that I necessarily disagree with you, I think that's exactly what the character is. The movie for me exemplifies the main problem with Batman as a character. I think for him it is a personal vendetta. I think his parents died and he is settling that vendetta. And it's something that he can never... It's the same thing of, like, I want to win the approval of my parents for doing something. He can't get that approval. He can't get that validation.
Right.
They're dead. And he makes it a personal... vendetta again. It's not crime. I don't know. It depends on the interpretation of the character in a lot of different things. But for me, like, this is what is problematic of Batman as a character.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
right?
In that he, it's very personal to him, and there's no eventual winning to this. Because I feel like even if he saves Gotham, even if he were to wipe out crime successfully,
right.
what does he do after that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Does he feel better about it?
Right. He's the classic person searching for happiness outside of himself.
Oh, wow.
He needs to look inward and not outward.
Yep. I think he went inward and found Batman, and now that's made him happy.
And now he can.
So maybe this could be, maybe it's the ultimate happiness. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, so.
Where's Gordon?
Oh, he's in it. Commissioner Gordon?
But where's Gordon?
What do you mean?
Isn't he supposed to be a big role in
it? You mean, where's Gary Oldman?
Where's
or what?
Gary Oldman?
He's
that's
in
my
there.
Question in everything.
Yeah, where's
that's
Gary
my
Oldman?
Life question.
Yeah,
where's Gary Oldman?
Yeah. Commissioner Gordon he's in it. He's the guy who's
in it, like, two scenes. And
right.
He's so not Commissioner Gordon-y.
No. In fact, I kind of had the same question. I was like, wait, is that Commissioner Gordon?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be him? That big guy who does not look like a police commissioner.
Right.
His order to them, like, they are about to storm, they're about to raid where Joker is.
Yeah.
At the Axis Chemicals.
Yeah.
And he says something like, all right, well, be careful. Like, he says something, like, so not police-y that I was like, what is this? Who is this
right.
guy?
Yeah.
And I had to actually go back and be like, I have to make sure that this is Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
Because this character so far has been disappointing me.
Right.
But, yeah.
It's like they just got someone, like, from set because Commissioner Gordon dropped out.
Right.
They're like,
quick.
Paul, we need you to come in here.
Paul. Come on, Paul.
You gotta come in.
I was like, I don't know the lines.
It's
and it's
okay.
Like, just make it up.
It's fine. We're cutting two of your scenes.
Right. Yeah. So he has to say, so he says something like, everybody be careful in there. Like,
tiptoe.
It's just some terrible line like
right.
that. And, but he's mostly with Billy Dee Williams, who's playing Harvey Dent. And we know eventually that Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face.
That was my question.
Oh, sure.
Is that, I didn't know if that is real. Like, is Harvey Dent always Two-Face?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and what was originally supposed to happen eventually in the Burton movies, if Burton had continued making them, he made Batman Returns after this one, which has the Penguin and Catwoman as the main villains. And if he'd gone on and done a third one, he wanted it to be Two-Face.
Right.
And it was Harvey Dent, and he very purposefully cast Billy Dee Williams.
Lando.
You know Lando, yes. Lando Calrissian.
Star Wars.
Yeah, from Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Specifically.
But he's an African-American actor,
right.
And he did it very purposefully because eventually he was going to be Two-Face.
Black
and white, that whole thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that guy.
He was fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I wish I can see that it was laying the groundwork to be a bigger
right.
role eventually.
Yeah.
So I'm sad that he didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
In the rest.
Agreed.
Batman Forever came out, was the third movie after this, and that has Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face, which is frightening.
Was that Tim Burton?
No. Burton had left by that point.
Oh.
So it's Joel Schumacher, and that one has... That's Val Kilmer as Batman. Jim Carrey as the Riddler. Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face.
That's
Nicole Kidman as Dr. Chase Meridian, about as useless as Kim Basinger as Vicky Vale.
What about Catwoman? Is she useless in the second one?
No, she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
That's because she's a villain. Villain girls are good to be cool.
Yeah.
But if you're a good girl, you have to be boring.
Yeah, you have to be boring. You have to be the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
And that's that. But yeah, you know, yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman in Batman Returns. And
you said a different name earlier. You said Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman's in Batman Forever.
How do you keep them straight? How do you keep all the Batman straight?
I don't know. Because I'm as crazy as Bruce Wayne up here, is what it is. That's how I can remember.
That's the truth.
So that's Batman. That's Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson.
To go off a little bit on a tangent.
Sure.
Again, just going back to the Two-Face thing. And who do they get to play? Tommy Lee Jones?
Mm-hmm.
That's so wimpy.
Yes.
Like, it's so wimpy to just put Tommy Lee Jones in there. It would have been so much more exciting to keep it Lando.
Oh, yeah. And to also refer to him as Lando the whole time.
I don't know the actor's name.
It's okay. Billy. You can call him Billy.
Billy.
Billy D.
But isn't that the other guy's name, too? Tommy Lee Jones? No. Tommy.
Nope.
Not Billy.
Not even close.
Okay. But yeah, it just would have been so much more exciting to have the multiculturalism.
Yes, absolutely. And I think they were heading towards that.
Right.
So it would have been interesting to see. It's one of those what-ifs that never got to come to fruition.
Right. What's the last movie that Lando did?
I think this was the only one he appeared in. I can't remember if he's in Batman Returns. Do you mean
in
terms of Batman or in general?
Like, what's on his IMDb
Batman? I don't even know. I can't think of what would have been next. Mm-mm. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Someone will know.
Yeah.
Out there.
They'll put it in the comments section.
Yeah.
And then he had us. Right, now you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts. Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Did you have any, like, WTF moments?
Yes. I have lightning round. What?
Lightning round. I'm going to try and answer them. If I can't, we'll just pass.
All right, we already answered Harvey Dent. I thought that was a device of Nolan's making, And I was like, that's interesting. But it was a comic book. Oh, yeah, book
to make
device.
Harvey Dent. The thing that it does change is it depends what he is sometimes. But for the most part, he's the DA. He becomes the district attorney of, and he is trying to instill justice and everything. Mm-hmm. He's and Nolan illustrates that really beautifully, I think. Like, right. he's the white knight to Batman's dark knight. Oh, symbolism and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it would have been interesting to have that also be a racial thing later on, like we said.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, Harvey Dent.
Oh, what year is this movie set in? Because we have, like, classic noir costumes.
Yes.
But, like, it's obviously the 90s, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think...
Where are we?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a solid answer for that. Gotham was designed to be a city with that aesthetic in mind, mm-hmm. of like, it looks very film noir. The everything's very abstract, kind of out of place, out of time. And you go, it's funny because you watch the sequel, if you watch Batman Returns, it's a little more fully realized Burton. So it's much more like his architecture, like the weird spires and things like that, and a lot more shadows, like a lot more expressionistic.
Mm-hmm.
This one's kind of just industrial. Like it's New York, but it's New York made of jet engines.
Right.
Like the museum looks like the inside of a plane.
Yeah.
It's very strange. So I think it was supposed to be out of time, out of place, but the costumes, yeah, it's like the costumes and the cars too.
Yeah.
Are like, right?
No.
Oh, well, I think I'm thinking of Bruce Wayne's car. Bruce Wayne's car is like an old one.
Oh, yeah.
But then all the other cars are
right.
Like a little bit older.
Yeah.
Or newer, I mean.
A little newer. Batman kills dudes in this one.
Yes.
Does he usually kill people?
In the original comics, part of his original MO is he was a lot more violent. He was a much darker character. And some of it, the way that the 60s series, the way that the Adam West version came out, was because of, I can never remember the name of this, but it's basically like the FCC of comic books. So they regulated things and said, you know what? No more killing in comics. Nobody uses guns anymore. You can only use lasers or things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of censorship and things like that. So everybody had to work around them. And Batman... So all the superheroes had to have kind of crazier plots. So they dealt a lot with aliens and things like that to justify not killing things. Or aliens could die, other humans couldn't die, things like that.
Yeah.
So that was how the 1960s version was spun out of it. So when Burton wanted to return it to this, he made sure, Batman was a little more of a vigilante and, you know.
It sounds like the comic book supports more of the idea that you were talking about Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's where your influence comes in that.
Okay, yeah.
That I missed in terms of like wanting him to just be this not nice guy, but like this guy who has, I guess, a more pure vision of why he's doing what he does.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe that's not supported by the history of Batman.
Right. Well, in contrast, it's so different depending on the interpretations and things. With the Joker specifically, you know, everybody's always like, why doesn't Batman just kill the Joker? Mm-hmm. Obviously, for storytelling purposes, you can't kill the best villain.
Right.
But really, eventually, like, the Joker's homicidal, did terrible, terrible things, Batman would eventually just kill him.
Mm-hmm.
If he had the chance. But Batman keeps him alive, mostly insisting on the idea that he needs to be tried. You know, Batman ultimately believes in justice, and he believes in order. So we need to follow that. And Joker consistently gets thrown into rehab, and he gets thrown into the asylum. And they think they can cure him, and they can't.
Right.
And that's why he always breaks out, and then he kills another 100 people or whatever.
Right, yeah.
So it's always interesting that... Because then other, like, lesser villains will just, they'll just die.
Yeah.
You know? He'll just kill them indiscriminately. Why doesn't he kill the Joker?
Yeah.
So I think that, for me, is a tough part to reconcile as a character with Batman. It's like, you have to do something with the Joker eventually.
Right.
Which is why they make, that's such an intertwined relationship. Because if he won't kill the Joker, there must be a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of comics frequently explore why don't you just kill me?
Yeah.
You can't, because you can't, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's interesting, which is why I found it interesting that they decided to make it, you know, so intertwined, their origin stories in mm-hmm. this movie. Ultimately, you know, I don't know, your mileage may vary if it worked or not.
Right.
I think on its own, as its own thing, I still think it kind of worked. It was an interesting insight, I thought. But I guess, you know, I guess, like you said, it was okay. It didn't work. Yeah.
I felt like, okay.
Right. It's kind of shoehorned in there, right, and yeah. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt a little bit forced. Mm-hmm. Like, of course it's the Joker.
Right. Yeah.
Of course you've come back now as adults. Right. And your nemesis.
Right.
I don't know. It felt a little forced.
It makes the world a little smaller.
Yeah.
It does.
It makes it less
about fate, and now it's just these two stories. It's not a big battle of good and evil anymore. Mm-hmm. The metaphor
exactly.
kind of comes down to just, oh, it's just this person's just mad at this person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't like that. also in their fight in her apartment specifically.
Oh, yes.
This scene is so cool. Like, you see Bruce Wayne, like, act out, and he's like, you want to get nuts? And
yeah.
Like,
yep.
I love that part.
Yeah.
And Vicky Vale is eating popcorn. She eats the popcorn while they're, like, fighting. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
She's just, like, casually in the background, like, I guess I'll take this opportunity
to eat popcorn. Yeah, that's like that's a joke. I guess I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah,
that was oh, this is so interesting, this is so fascinating. Right. Oh, it's that moment of, you know,
right,
the side characters will just, oh, we're just gonna watch
yeah.
everybody fight, but it just happened to be Vicky Vale.
Yeah.
And it just served to highlight her uselessness.
I know, it totally
In that
did.
Time that she grabbed popcorn, she could have grabbed another implement.
Right.
To weaponize herself, mm-hmm. but she did not.
No, she didn't. That's all I got.
That's all you got.
That's all I got.
So, any other final thoughts? Batman, how about this? In terms of, like, because inevitably there's comparisons drawn to, you know, the Nolan trilogy, which I know you've seen
yep.
all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's how do they compare? How do they stack up? What do you think?
I love the Nolan trilogy.
Sure.
And it was the first one, Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
Was the first time I was, like, really excited about Batman again.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'd always kind of lobbied for him.
Right.
So it was really exciting to see, like, this embodiment of this person that I had always kind of spoken for in my small circles of
yeah, yeah.
when I would ever talk about Batman.
You're on your tiny soapbox with all your friends. Batman should be a movie.
At church camp.
At church camp.
When people were talking about Superman,
right.
I would pop in about how... Batman is the light of the world.
Right. Oh, no.
No, wait,
oh, no. You wouldn't
Jesus?
Say that at church.
No, I wouldn't say that.
They would have stoned you for being a witch. Is that what happens at church camps?
That's what happens at church camp.
I don't want to get sacrilegious.
They stone you. Not the light of the world. I didn't
mean
that.
Not the light of the world. Yeah, yeah.
But just a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so I love the Nolan ones.
Right.
And I really like that, like, I think Christian Bale sort of embodies that side of Batman that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's for Gotham. Like, so much of what he's doing is for Gotham.
Right.
But I liked this.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it stands on its own.
They're very self-contained.
Yeah,
which is really
absolutely.
Cool. The Nolan trilogy and this one. And I think, by extension, Batman Returns, like, it's a self-contained
yeah.
world
mm-hmm.
of Batman and their interpretations, the respective interpretations of that
right.
character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, Christian Bale, I like him a lot as Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of give or take on Batman. I don't think there's enough Batman in the trilogy. Like, he's
oh.
not in it enough.
As Batman.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's mostly Bruce Wayne. So maybe that's why I really like his Wayne. I like the contrast of Michael Keaton. It's such a beautiful contrast.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And for years, that was the, like, the definitive
yeah.
Interpretation.
And coming from the Christian Bale
yeah.
and going back to seeing it as Keaton,
mm-hmm.
Or, like, jumping backward in time in that way, it's so like refreshing and kind of nice. It's just like this really interesting perspective on him.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to this cocky Bruce Wayne.
Right.
You know, who's kind of putting up this front all the time and very slick.
Right.
You know, smooth talker, drives a Lamborghini. And
yeah. It's kind of an opposite thing. It's like, yeah. Bruce Wayne is the front in this, in the Nolan trilogy. So Bruce, he's like, he has to be a playboy and all these
right.
things. And then Batman's like, you know, in the Burton movie, Batman's kind of the true persona. He's sure
right.
of himself and he's confident. And Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne is like, he's, we're
yeah.
talking about, he's uncomfortable. He's unsure
right.
of himself.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he wants for dinner.
He doesn't know. He doesn't, yeah, he disappears for days
right.
and things like that.
Yeah.
Buys armor.
He gets
like
lost
that.
In a grocery store.
I can imagine him getting lost in a grocery store.
He can't find his car in a parking lot.
Right. He just has to call Alfred. He's like, Alfred, where are you? Timmy's lost. Tim. And he's like, your name's Bruce.
I'm so confused.
Well, that's Batman. So
that's Batman.
We will have to end it here, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's a good place to end.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we'll see you next month for the next episode. Don't know what we're going to do yet. We'll
yeah.
find out soon. But until then, I'm David Armstrong.
And I'm Claire Yale.
This is Unseen Footage. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.